Please rise. I want to read this morning from Isaiah chapter 9. Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. I'll be reading out of the ESV version. And I'm going to read from verses 2 through 7. Verses 2 through 7. So Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling, warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your law. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your gospel. Open our eyes to behold the wonder of your Christ. Open our eyes to behold him, he who is wonderful. He who is our God, he who is our King, and he who is coming. Open our eyes that we might see his glory and his majesty. May we turn our thoughts away from lesser things this morning. May we be as when Moses saw the bush burning, he turned aside to see what it was. May we look at your word this morning. May we look at Christ, Father. May nothing take our eyes and our mind off of Christ this morning. May he be glorified. May he be exalted. And he will. He will be glorified. Amen. So this morning I will be focusing on really one verse and on one section of one verse. And I want to just point out that this was given in a text in the context of a day of darkness, of gloom, of despair. And there was a prophecy 700 years before the child was to come, a prophecy of a great light that would dispel darkness. Not only the darkness of the Lamb, but the spiritual darkness. And this great light that not only brings hope, but is his hope himself. And it was this prophecy and of this Messiah that we look to this morning. You know, it is Mother's Day, and I was thinking about it this morning, how mothers and fathers realize the sort of looking for just the way that when babies, when newborns, how they just crave and hunger to be nursed. They crave for milk all the time, and you lose sleep over it. Those of you that have just recently had babies, I don't see Jack or Zachy, but anyways, you know what it's like to not have sleep because your baby's just crying. It's hungry, and it's wanting one thing. It's wanting to nurse. It's wanting its mother's milk. And as fathers, we just kind of are just seeing that. That's just their one focus in life. Well, we're commanded, like babies, to hunger and thirst for the spiritual milk that God has given us. In fact, that is our greatest purpose. It's to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be like newborn babies that hunger and thirst for the milk of the Word. We're to hunger and thirst not only for the milk, but for the person who is revealed in the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be our one cry, our desire, every moment, like that newborn baby, to where we're consumed with Christ. And that is not only our greatest purpose, but it's our greatest concern, and it brings with it our greatest joy in life. For that is what eternal life is. Jesus said eternal life is to know the Father and to know Him. 1 Peter said that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we might proclaim his excellencies. So in order to proclaim his excellencies, we need to know him. In order to worship Christ rightly, correctly, we need to know him. And with that comes the greatest warning that John gave in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 5, at the end of it. He said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from anything that will distort this view of Christ, of who he is. Don't make Christ out someone else or something else, because in doing so, you create an idol. For Christ is to be worshipped and known through the Word, and the Word alone. And in the Word of God, we have sufficient revelation to know him and to grow in the grace and knowledge of who he is. So my encouragement is for not only for the mothers here to know Christ so that they can pass it on to their children, but for all of you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to not be babes in Christ and to stay with a shallow, superficial understanding of who Christ is, but to long for Christ, to want to know him more so that you might worship him. It says in the psalmist that we praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's how we're supposed to praise him, according to his excellent greatness. But if we have such a shallow view of his greatness, our worship will be weak and pitiful at times. But by God's grace, as we dive into the Word, my prayer that this will whet your appetite to study Christ, to know Christ, for the supreme purpose of worshiping Christ. And that is why we go to this text in Isaiah 6. Because I want to talk about, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Because I want to talk about the wonder, the majesty, the glory, the excellency, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was prophesied, the one who would bring hope, the one who is the light that dispels all darkness. The one who is, as Isaiah said in chapter 7, Emmanuel. The one who is God with us. At Christmas time, this text is used to preach on the birth of Christ, which is a great text. But I want to preach Christ from this text, knowing that it is our greatest need to know him always, not just at Christmas time, but always. For we don't celebrate the birth of a baby per se. We celebrate the incarnation of God himself. And that is what is being here prophesied. And it's being spoken in such a way as it has happened, it will be. So we will look at this specific portion of verse 6. I'm going to read verse 6. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And that is my text for this morning. His name shall be called Wonderful. In Scripture, names are used as titles or as descriptions of a person or a role that they will fulfill. To say the name of someone is synonymous with the person itself. So here we look at the name of this one who is wonderful, this person who is wonderful in and of himself. We will look at why he is wonderful in and of himself and what he has done to be seen as wonderful by his people and by all. For all will see him as wonderful, but not all will bow the knee to him, but all will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it is my prayer that God would open our eyes to behold the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Many of you have met people that are claimed to be wonderful, right? Mothers say, oh, our son is wonderful. But over time, what happens is, or daughters, not just sons, but they grow up or they start having tantrums and they're not so, wonderful anymore. Or spouses, when they meet each other, or friends, or whatever, you think that person is wonderful, but as you get to know them, they don't seem so wonderful at times, especially when they're crabby at home, like I am. My wife doesn't think I'm so wonderful in those moments. But not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you get to know him, the more wonderful he becomes. He doesn't diminish in his wonder. In fact, he grows in his wonder. And that is what has been convicting me this week, of having such a low view of the wonder of Christ. But I want to set this before us so we would see him. The dictionary defines wonderful as to be struck with surprise or astonishment. That which is marvelous, that which is astonishing, that which is a sight wonderful to behold. It also says to be full of wonder, so as to produce a sense of awe, amazement, and wonder. Synonyms for wonderful are majestic, glorious, awesome, amazing, beautiful, great, excellent. And this name that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ is his name inherently, for he is wonderful in and of himself. He is excellent. He is beautiful. He is great. He is supreme. And it is name that is above all names, that is only his and his alone. In fact, in this text where we look at, the word that is used is wonder. And it's, in fact, it should be named. His name is wonder. And it's, this word is used throughout Scripture as well to point to signs and miracles and wonders. This word is used to throughout Scripture to point or to speak of the marvelous works of God. It points to only that which God does, which points to his wonders, to his power. It's supposed to awaken in us a sense of awe and astonishment. And this word is used throughout Scripture, Deuteronomy 13, Psalm 78, and also in Judges 13, when Manoah was visited by the angel of the Lord. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that when your words come true, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask me my name, seeing that it is wonderful?" These works point to him as the source of wonder. And that is why Christ is now portrayed as wonderful. His name is wonderful because he is wonderful. And he is seen as wonderful in not only in who he is, but in what he does. All these things point to him. All these things find their source in the greatest wonder of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know that God is wonderful? Well, he's revealed his wonders in creation. You look around and you see all that God has created. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light. God spoke it into existence. The creation of a baby inside the womb. The psalmist said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And not only in creation do we see his wonders, but we see how God is wonderful in his word. For his word proclaims that he is wonderful in wisdom, wonderful in counsel. As Gary read in Isaiah, he's wonderful because he is supreme. He is God. To whom will you liken him? We are told to behold our God, our deliverer, our savior. He is wonderful. But he is most clearly and perfectly seen as wonderful in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why this text says, his name shall be called Wonderful, for he is wonderful. God himself has given Jesus this name. Therefore, we are to praise him for who he is, because Jesus alone provokes a sense of wonder and adoration and awe. Does Jesus provoke in you a sense of awe this morning? Does he provoke in you a sense of admiration this morning? Or is your view of Jesus low? I pray that we will be like these newborn babes that hunger and thirst for the Word, for the living Word, so that we will see him wonderful. As Christ is portrayed before us, that should excite in our souls a desire to know him and a conviction of our lack of praise and worship. This has caused me to repent many times for my lack of seeing Christ for how wonderful he is. Because we are told to praise him according to his excellent greatness. Oh, if we saw him as more wonderful, our praise of him would elevate more and more on a daily basis. His name is wonderful. And I want to show you why he is wonderful in a few ways. I'm going to show you that he is wonderful in his natures. He's wonderful in his person. He's wonderful in his incarnation. He's wonderful in his life. He's wonderful in his reflection of the glory of God. He's wonderful in his exaltation, his intercession, and he's wonderful in his glorious return. So I want to take some time, just a few minutes this morning, to point out the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you're young or old, I pray that you would focus your mind on Christ, on the words of Scripture that point to him, how wonderful he is, and your need for Christ. For if you are apart from Christ, you do not see him as wonderful this morning. You don't grasp the beauty and the excellency of Christ because you don't see your need for Christ. You don't see your need for a Savior. You don't see that you are a sinner who needs Christ, that you are still walking in darkness. But behold, this morning, the Word says that there's a light that will shine, that will dispel that darkness. If God have mercy on your soul, may he do so. May he dispel the darkness of your soul with the light of Christ. For those of you who are in Christ, oh, may you see him as wonderful this morning. May your conversation be such that he is, that people know that he is wonderful to you. For I promise you, the more you study him, the more wonderful he will become. He is wonderful in his natures. The Bible clearly states that Jesus is both God and man. He is 100% God and 100% man. He is the God-man. And this is the name that was given to the Messiah, who was to be Emmanuel, who would be both God and man. And these are two natures in Christ that are not mixed together. There's no confusion in the two natures of Christ. There's no separation. There's no division. It's not 50-50. It's not that. It's not 75-25. I'll do the math real quick. He is 100% divine, 100% God, and 100% man, without confusion, without any separation, without any mixture. He is purely the God-man that the Scripture has been proclaiming, the Messiah who was to come, who was to deliver his people from their sins. He was the one who was born of a virgin. He was the one who was told by the angel in Matthew chapter 1, and you shall name his name Jesus. You shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then the quote of Isaiah is given, that Emmanuel will be with us, God with us. In Colossians, turn with me to Colossians real quick. I just want to show you a few passages. Again, this morning is just going to be just a little, I don't even know if little is the right word, just a little bite size of the wonder of Christ. And again, I pray this will whet your appetite to go home and study Christ. The Bible says in Colossians that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, in Christ, in Jesus, in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And then in chapter 2, we also see that in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9 says, in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. He is wonderful for his two natures. For none other than one who is fully God and truly man can redeem lost sinners. For who was it that sinned? Who was it that deserves the wages of sin, which is death? We do. Man does. For all have fallen short of the glory of God, and all stand condemned as man. So we need a man to stand in our place, to be our substitute, to die in our place. For it is by a man that salvation is now here, and that's in Christ. But not only does he need to be fully man and truly man, he needs to be God. For it is only God alone who can absorb and satisfy the full wrath of an eternal God. For there is no way that man can satisfy the wrath of God in hell, for that is an eternal state where they will forever be under the curse of God, the wrath of God, for all eternity. And after eternity has been spent, not one drop of the wrath of God will have been spent. But in Christ, we see that the full cup of God's wrath was taken, was as if it was drank down to the very bottom with nothing left. He so fully and finally absorbed the wrath of God and satisfied the wrath of God that he was risen again, demonstrating that he, by his resurrection, is God. And also by his life, that he is man, that he is the God-man. And there are many more passages that point in the Bible to this Messiah to be born, who was Emmanuel, who walked among us, who is the Messiah, who is the God-man. He is wonderful in his natures. He is also wonderful in his person. Jesus Christ, he is one person with two natures. One person with two natures. And in his person, he is beautiful. He is excellent. He is glorious. For in his person, he is also the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Son. He is the one who radiates the beauty, the glory, and the majesty of the Father. He is the one that the Father, who is the agent of creation. He is a glorious person because he is wonderful, because of who he is. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, in one person. And he is wonderful because of that. That is the wonder, the power of God to bring man and God in one person together so beautifully, so clearly. And yet it is something we can't fully fathom. And we know that in heaven, the saints are before the Lamb and they are worshiping the Lamb and crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and glory and honor." And they are worshiping him. They're bound before him. And one day he will return in full might and full glory and full power for his redeemed, for his church, for his bride. That is the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see him this morning? Whether you're young or old, do you see how wonderful he is? For who he is. So we praise him because of who he is. Praise him this morning for him, because his name is wonderful. And also in Scripture, we see many more. You go through John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not only in John, not only in Colossians, but in Hebrews. Hebrews shows us the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, in short, he is better. That's his message. Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than Abraham. He's better than Moses. He's better than the sacrifices. He's better than the temple. He's better. He's supreme. And not only is he wonderful in his natures or in his person, he's wonderful in his incarnation. Matthew, as I alluded to earlier, Matthew 1:21 says this. This is regarding that which was prophesied 700 or so years prior to his birth. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 7 prophesied this, and Matthew here quotes it, speaking of the virgin Mary, says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God, the Supreme One, the Holy One, the Majestic One, stooped down to reveal himself. Not only to reveal himself in creation and in his word, but most clearly through the Lord Jesus Christ. God with us. That is the wonder here, that God would take on flesh. That is the incarnation. That is the wonder of the incarnation. He would take on flesh for dust. We're dust. That's all we are. But Jesus came to take our place, to fulfill all righteousness, to die on the cross for our sins, to be our sin bearer, our substitute, the one who satisfies the Father, the one who rose again triumphantly, the one who delivers us out of darkness, and the one through whom we are transferred into the glorious light of the Father, the one through whom we are now called a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. He is the one that through whom God has shown his immeasurable riches, as Paul said in Ephesians, the immeasurable riches of Christ in salvation. We can't fathom it. We can't comprehend how the stooping that took place. Philippians chapter 2 mentions the stooping of Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He said he was in the form of God. This word form, morphe, refers to Christ's essential nature and character, his very substance as the very God. He did not count that equality something as a prerogative to hold on to, but he laid aside those prerogatives as king of the universe and humbled himself and became a man. God with us, Emmanuel, took on flesh, walked among us. He went to those who were in desperate need, those who were in darkness, and he saved them. He opened their eyes so that they would see that his name is wonderful. He is wonderful in his natures. He is wonderful in his person. He is wonderful in his incarnation, and he is wonderful in his life. He lived as a man, a perfect, sinless, holy life. Which one of your children has lived a perfect life in the last 10 minutes? He lived his whole life sinless, perfection, holy unto the Lord. And he did so to fulfill all righteousness. He did so to earn our salvation. He did it so that we would have eternal life, so that the blessing of God would be given to us in Christ. That is why the Bible says that he is Jehovah, our righteousness. We are clothed with his righteousness. That is why we have been given eternal life, because of his sinless, perfect life. And not only did he live a sinless, perfect life for us as our substitute, because he didn't do it for himself, but he did it for his people. But what else did he do? Not only did he live, but he also died on the cross for our sins. A man on the cross died in our place, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than God in the flesh. Emmanuel took our place. He bore our wrath, and he satisfied the wrath of God finally. Fully, finally, completely. Hebrews says it's a once for all sacrifice, never needed to be repeated. It was nothing like the Old Testament sacrifices which are done on a daily basis. This was a one-time act for all eternity. He was our sin bearer, our substitute. He was our guarantee. He is our Savior. He is the one who lived, died, and rose again as our substitute. And Paul said in Romans, it is through his resurrection that we are justified. We are declared righteous in God's eyes. We are declared righteous because of Christ, because we are clothed with his majesty. Behold the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take his royal garments and place them on us. At the cross, he took our shame, our guilt, and our sin, so that we might receive his righteousness, his beauty, His holiness. And He is wonderful in His natures, in His person, in His incarnation, in His life. And He is wonderful in His reflection of the glory of God. Hebrews 1 says that He is the express image of the Father. I'm going to read that. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says regarding Jesus Christ. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. He is the perfect imprint, one commentator says. He is the perfect imprint, the exact representation of the nature and essence of God in time and space. He is God. He reveals the glory of God. The glory of God is most clearly revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful. And He's wonderful in His exaltation. He's wonderful at God's right hand, where He rules and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not only is He wonderful in His position of authority as the Messiah, as the God-man, as King of Kings, over all things, over everyone, because that's what Paul said. He said that God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He is wonderful there at God's right hand. He is also wonderful as our great high priest. You have a high priest before the throne of God. You have a high priest who intercedes in your behalf. He has brought you in to the Holy of Holies. As the Old Testament priest bore the names of the tribes of Israel and went in before God, and only that once a year, Christ stands there now continuously where He bears your name. He intercedes for you. He is wonderful. And He is wonderful in His glorious return. He is wonderful in His glorious return. Paul said in his letters to Thessalonians these words. It says this in chapter 4. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. And he goes on to say in 2 Thessalonians these words, evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Says this, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might when He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed. He is wonderful. Has He caused in you a sense of awe, a sense of admiration? These are just little snippets that I've read to you, just little snippets of the wonder of Christ, of why He is wonderful. And again, I pray this will whet your appetite to go home and study Christ, to seek Him. Lord, to whom shall we go? You and You alone not only have the words of life, but are life. He is life. If you're apart from Christ, you're dead in your sins. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. And He will be wonderful for all eternity, for all of us to gaze. For when we see Him, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. And this is our hope for today and for tomorrow and for eternity. To see the Lamb of God risen triumphant who is king, who is mighty, who is glorious, who is excellent, who is beautiful, who is worthy of praise, who is wonderful. Praise his name according to his excellent greatness. See him as wonderful. Do you see him as wonderful this morning? As we partake in communion, it's another opportunity to see Christ as wonderful. His body was broken, his blood was shed, that we might live and have peace with God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, in just this short time, pointing out Christ to us. Oh, Father, I pray that you would have mercy on us, Lord, and open our eyes to behold the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ in your word. Open our eyes that we would behold him. And, Lord, your word says that you satisfy the longing soul. Awaken, excite our souls this morning to long for more of Christ. I pray that we would not go away without coming before you and seeking you and begging of you to open our eyes to see more of the wonder of Christ. And as we take communion, that we would have another visual representation of why he's wonderful. For he is our sin bearer. He is our satisfaction. He is our Savior, and he is our coming King. Amen.